Our message today is on the topic, sinful people in a sinful world. Sinful people in a sinful world. Somebody could right off the bat, as we might say, wonder, well, why don't you talk about something that makes us feel good? Why don't you talk about something that makes us happy instead of talking about sin? You know, I'm just trying to share with you part of what the Bible says. I'm glad God loves us. I'm glad for all His blessings. But I think it's also appropriate that we have a balance of what we learn and how we practice things in life. So we will read some scripture from the book of Romans. We'll start in chapter 3 after I share these things with you. So think with me, if you will, on this topic today. And let me say that the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 20 tells us this. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. That's a strong yet plain statement. There is not anybody on this earth that does good to the point that that person never sins. Do we know that to be true? I trust that we do. The Bible is abundantly clear that every person in the world is by nature a sinner in need of a Savior. Doesn't that include you and me? Absolutely. This truth is presented to us throughout the Scripture. But one of the New Testament books that plainly presents this truth is the book of Romans, from which we will read some selected verses for this message. Let me share this with you. Some of you may know that in Christian witnessing, numerous people have used what is called the Romans Road. Well, what is that? It's an evangelistic tool that simply uses verses from the book of Romans to walk people through the way to know about sin, Jesus, the gospel, and salvation. Now, I would add to that, you can use multiple verses from the Bible to witness to somebody. You don't have to go to the book of Romans, but I can appreciate the fact that somebody along life's way decided, well, this will be a neat way to present Bible verses to people so they'll know the way to travel to get to heaven, to see what it says right here in these verses. Now, one person may use what's called the Romans Road, and it may vary a little bit from another, but the underlying and overlying thing is that they use verses from the book of Romans. So I want to briefly go over these verses that we could say constitute the book of Romans, that is the Romans Road from the book of Romans, and then we'll go to chapter 1. But if you'll look in chapter 3, verse 23 with me, I want you to notice this verse. I may be reading verses that some of you can quote. And if you can, then that's to your credit. But the Bible is what's important. And the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I have used that, as many people have. I have used that talking to people. And when you look at it that way, you can say to somebody, well, if all have sinned, that includes me, doesn't it? That person probably will agree. And then you can say, but it also includes you, because it includes everyone in the world. Now, I want to say to you, or reiterate this, God loves everybody. I believe that, and I'm glad He does. And God is a gracious and merciful God. But there are some things that God does not approve of. He does not approve of sin. And there are some things that are so flagrant. But we'll look at some of that in the message today. So the Bible says all have sinned. Doesn't that fit with Ecclesiastes? There's not anybody on the earth that's so just and does so much good that you never sin. Now somebody could really be picky and say, well, you're calling me a sinner. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm not attacking anybody. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but the Bible tells us important information, and the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And guess what? Most people know, because of the intellect God gave to them, that they have sinned. Am I telling you the truth? People know that they have sinned because sin is missing the mark. Sin is falling short of what God wants us to do. Well, that's the condition we're in. We're sinners in need of a Savior, but the Bible says in Romans 5:12 as well about that. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." That one man, of course, is Adam. Most everyone knows the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and how Satan was successful in getting them to fall into sin. And because of that fall, everybody that's ever come into the world since then inherits that sin nature. And because of sin, there's death. The Bible makes it plain. Death comes because of sin, and death is passed upon, it says in this verse, all men or all people, because all have sinned. Now, if we just use those two verses to talk to someone, that would paint a very bleak and negative picture, wouldn't it? That everybody's a sinner. But the good news we can see in more than one place, and that includes chapter 6, verse number 23. Romans 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So yes, everyone's a sinner. Everyone stands guilty before God, but the good news is God's love has manifested itself in the giving of His Son to die for us and to pay for our sins. Eternal life is available through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you back up to chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says that God commendeth, that is, He showed or He demonstrated His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I believe sincerely that Jesus died at that place called Calvary. I believe He died in fulfilling the Bible prophecy. I believe He offered one sacrifice for sin forever that was sufficient, and that He completed the task He came to do, and that He accomplished it. He has provided for our salvation, yet some people reject Him. But He demonstrated, or God demonstrated His love for us in that Jesus died on our behalf. He died a long time before we were born, but His sacrifice of Himself was sufficient. Romans chapter 10, we can go to verses 9 and 10 in that chapter. Romans chapter 10, and the Bible speaks about having your belief in the Lord. Verse 9, along with verse 10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." In other words, that's believing that gospel message. Verse 10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And then right down from that is verse 13. And this is such a plain verse in the Bible. The Bible says, "For whosoever, anybody that will do so, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The next verse says, "How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed?" So how do you get saved and go to heaven? You believe that you're a sinner. You believe that God loved you and Jesus died to pay for your sins. You accept that. You believe it in your heart. You ask God for forgiveness. And He gives to you eternal life. And that makes all the difference, doesn't it? I hope everybody here today has eternal life. Meaning, I hope you have come to that point in your life where you put your faith in Christ as your Savior. If not, today's the best day to get that settled, but I hope that you do. Now, having said that, I want us to go to chapter 1 for our main text beyond those verses today. Those verses constitute the Romans road, but I want us to read from the book of Romans, chapter 1. And if you'll hold your place there, we'll read the latter part of the chapter. We'll hopefully get some important points from what I want to share with you here today. But will you please think with me for a moment? We've already talked about, even in this message, God loves us. That's good. We're sinners. That's bad. But the good news is Jesus is the answer, and He paid for our sins. But listen, after people come to the Lord, they need to learn things from the Bible. None of us knows it all. But we need to grow as Christians. We need to learn things from the Bible. We need to know what is true and what is not. And I want to emphasize something for you before we get into the verses of Scripture in chapter 1. We need to be concerned. We can be people in this church and many other churches as well. We need to be concerned about biblical truth and moral values. They don't contradict each other. Biblical truth and moral values. If you want to know what moral values can be and should be, look to the Word of God. So we need to be concerned about biblical truth and moral values. Our beliefs and our practices. I don't mean just in the church service time, but in life. Our beliefs and our practices need to be based on what? On the Word of God. On the Word of God. We need to be strong Christians who love others as Jesus did. Now, I hope y'all don't miss that part that I just said, because a lot of the rest of the message would really be a downer to somebody if they don't realize we're trying to balance it out here, that God loves us. Jesus loves everybody. Aren't you glad he loved everybody and didn't leave you out? And didn't leave me out? Jesus loves everybody. And we need to love others as Jesus did, but at the same time, know enough truth and know enough about the Lord to not support ungodly activities and lifestyles. Our lives should not be swayed. Oh, we have challenges out there, but our lives should not be swayed by political jargon, outcries against morality, or the court of public opinion. The pervasive ideologies in our society are supporting the truth expressed years ago by Isaiah. Do you know what Isaiah said a long time ago? He said, woe to those, and the word woe is almost like judgment. He said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Don't those expressions pretty much fit our world today? Sin is nothing new. Sin expresses itself in many ways. And I'm going to be specific to say that it includes. And when I say includes, that doesn't mean that's all. Sin has many shades. There are many types of sin. But sin expresses itself in many ways, and sometimes those ways become publicized and popular. And that includes our society's excessive emphasis on abortion and on rights for homosexuals and people with other perverted lifestyles. Now that's strong, isn't it? But what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Not what does Brother Cook say? Not what does the preacher say or those around you? What does God say in the Bible? Have I said already two or three or four times how God loves us? That's absolutely true. But God does not approve of some of the things that are going on. I'll give you one example. It's an endless topic almost when you talk about things going on in society. But here's one example. One of our country's major universities has a division. Now, you can believe a university has many divisions and many aspects. But this university has a division called, I'm going to give you the exact title, the name of this division, the Gender and Sexuality Campus Center. And that center uses this acronym. It used to be probably a lot shorter, but I'll read you this acronym because you probably hear some form of it all the time. That center uses this acronym, LGBTQIA2S+. What does that mean? Here's what the center says that the acronym stands for. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and trans, queer and questioning, intersex, asexual or agender, and two-spirit. The plus sign signifies additional identity terms. We live in a messed up world, don't we? I'm not apologizing for what I'm saying, but I do hope that everybody realizes I'm not going off the deep end on anything. And I'm trying to balance out the fact that God loves everybody, but he doesn't approve of some of the stuff that's going on in the world. And although this message is not as in-depth as you could get in-depth to talk about some of the lifestyle stuff, I will remind you that part of what is popular and promoted in our society today is part of the reason God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Check it out. If you don't think I'm right, check out what the Bible says, and you'll find us there. All right, so that's a mouthful of terms, but isn't it sad that people are in these groups, identifying with these groups, and they have to put a plus on the end because we don't want to leave anybody out. There may be something else out there. And I can believe that people are searching for answers in life. Think with me now. There are people that are searching for answers in life, and they can get caught up in this and that and the other thing, but that doesn't mean they found the right answers when they get into these lifestyles. I know it's very debatable. I understand that. But it's a sad state of affairs. And you might keep this in mind as well. There are some people on the plus side of things that have gone down the dark road of life into some realm that is not right, that have, by the grace of God, come out of it. And so God is able to help people. He really is. Now, I understand, and you do too, there are people that would call what I'm telling you right now hate speech, and there's nothing hateful in what I'm saying. Nothing hateful. I mean, I might get strong in my opinion, you might in yours, somebody else might in his, but I'm not standing here spewing hatred. I'm telling you that God loves everybody, but God doesn't approve with everything, and it's not okay to just say, well, if you think it's good, it's all right. It doesn't work that way, according to the Bible. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's true of all of us. The best of Christian people still have a sin nature. That's not the focus right here, as we are about to read in chapter 1 in Romans. But I want you to keep in mind some of this I shared with you, and we'll take a brief look at the latter part of this chapter. Let's begin with verse number 16 in Romans chapter number 1. The Bible says, in the words of Paul, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I hope we're not either. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So I wanted to start with that verse. That's the good news of the gospel right there. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of it, because that's the power of God that saves people. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter who you are. Everybody that believes can accept the gospel and be saved." But when you talk about the sin of the world, when you talk about the guilt of mankind, we see an awful lot of information here. And you can see where some people would take exception to what the Bible is telling us here in this chapter. Verse 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Yes, as it is written, that's a New Testament quotation from the Old Testament, that the just shall live by faith. Do you know we're saved by grace through faith? And we're supposed to live by faith. It says here, the just shall live by faith. The Bible even says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If you're living a life that pleases God, then that means you have some amount of faith in God in your life, because it's impossible to please Him without faith. But then we see in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Against what? We have a lot of things put here. The wrath of God is revealed. So if somebody wants to pick Bible verses out here and there, which is always a problem, you know, you can't just pick out a verse here and a verse there to support some doctrine and always be right. Somebody could say, "Oh, God has wrath for people." And I don't believe that. I think God is love. He doesn't hate people. That's not the point, folks. Again, God loves everybody, but He doesn't approve of people that live contrary to how He's made them to be, and people that live sinful lives. And so the wrath of God, it's like the judgment of God, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. People have access to the truth, but their unrighteous and ungodly living is what is of interest to them. Verse 19 says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." Don't miss that part. God has shown something to them. Verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now, that sentence continues, but notice that God has showed it unto them, and we see that from the creation of the world, some things are clearly seen, and it mentions the things that are made. Now, we don't get to heaven by worshiping God's creation like nature, but even the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. And so the Bible is telling us that the things that are made basically are witnessing to the fact that there is a God, His eternal power and Godhead. And so people are without excuse when they try to deny God or to deny their need for God in their lives. Now, this gets extreme. Verse 21 says, "Because that when they knew God." In other words, people in many cases have heard about God, but that doesn't mean they accept Him. "When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God." Oh, as Paul is right there. Let me tell you that we as Christians ought to be willing to glorify God every day that we live. We ought to be willing to glorify Him in how we think and how we speak and how we act. And don't forget that how we think affects how we speak and how we act. Glorify God. Give Him the praise that He's worthy of. Okay, but these people knew God. They knew about Him, but they weren't willing to give Him the glory that God deserves. Yet the Bible tells us in the words of the Lord, He says, I am the Lord, I change not. And He says, I am the true God. I'm just sort of paraphrasing from the Scripture. And He said, I am the one true God. Beside me there is none else, and I will give my glory unto another. So God deserves all the glory and all the praise. Yet some are not willing to glorify Him as God, but they became vain. Sometimes vain means empty, worthless. They became vain in their imaginations or in their thinking. People are always thinking about something, aren't they? Either for good or for bad. And they became vain in their imaginations. What they were thinking wasn't helping them any. And their foolish heart was darkened. The darkening is related to sin. Their foolish heart, not wise hearts, but their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, I would not want to improperly call somebody a fool. But the Bible's saying that you have people in the world who they view themselves as being wise, professing themselves to be wise, but they're really showing how foolish they are because of how they're living and how they're rejecting God in their lives. Verse 23 says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. Now, you go back in the Bible days, Old Testament and New Testament, there is no shortage of information in the Scripture about people worshiping items made by people's hands, like statues and such as that. So, an image made like to corruptible man, an image. We don't need to worship images. We need to worship the Lord. But they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, keep in mind, this is talking about people who've gone down the wrong way. They've gone down the wrong road. They've gone into the dark realm of life where they don't need to be. Verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Pause right there. Listen, God does not abandon people without a reason. Please don't miss that. God does not abandon people without a reason. His grace and His mercy exceed probably what we can comprehend, as does His love. But there comes a point when God allows people to go ahead and basically hang themselves in their trouble, He allows them to go and just really mess up their lives because they're rejecting Him. And so He gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Lust is a desire. But typically, if not always, it speaks of a wrong desire. And that would certainly be the case here. The lust of their own hearts. And the rest of the verse says, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, I'm going to read you one sentence from some commentary. That's obviously talking about homosexuality. And the commentary says, homosexuality is pictured by Paul not as the ultimate sin, but as the ultimate distortion of God's creative genius. Well, it is a distortion of how God made people to be. God is perfect in every way. God knew what He was doing when He gave life to Adam. He knew what He was doing when He gave life to Eve. He knew what He was doing when He designed that children be born to them. And down through the years of time, the same thing keep taking place. God knew what He was doing. And this is a distortion of the way God made people to be when you have people dishonoring their bodies in that way. And that's not all we have here, because let's read further. It says they changed the truth of God into a lie. In other words, they accept the lies of Satan instead of accepting the truth of God. Do you think that fits with everything else? I think so. Satan is the master at deceiving people. And I think in many, many ways. And so here we're seeing that they change God's truth, or it's like they exchange God's truth for a lie. And they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That word amen has the idea of agreeing with something, like so be it. And yes, our Creator is blessed forever. But the problem here is that some of these people exchange the truth for a lie, and they worship creation more than the one who's behind creation. And that's a problem for anyone. And so in verse 24 it says, wherefore? In other words, on the basis of how they were doing things, God gave them up. Now in verse 26 it says, for God gave them up. God gave them up in the sense that He allowed them to do what they were doing. They were rejecting Him. He gave them up unto vile or improper affections. Now notice, this verse and the next verse get very specific. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now let me ask you, what is the natural use? here's my opinion, which I think is scriptural. My opinion doesn't trump the Bible. But what is the natural use? I believe the natural use is simply the way God made people to be. And so some change the natural use into that which is against nature. It's not just this preacher saying that this is against the way God made people to be. It's what God himself says in his word. They changed the natural use into that which is not natural. It's against nature. Now that mentions the women in verse 26. Verse 27 says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, in other words, getting away from how God intended things to be, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, in other words, that which is improper, that which is wrong, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Now, God knows better than we do what is the recompense of their error. I'm confident people could give their thoughts and opinions on that. Like, do diseases come from these kinds of lifestyles? You know, there may be other thoughts people have, but we do know this, that God will hold people accountable for these decisions they make, even to live that kind of lifestyle. The problem is, in our world today, that some of this is not what we used to know. Most of us are old enough to remember when it would not be spoken of like it is now. But people started coming out of the closet, didn't they? And now, how can I say it kindly? And how now they have come out of the closet and they bombard you on the TV. And they basically say, if you don't agree with us, you're bad. That's not hate speech from up here. I'm just trying to deal with reality. Does that mean we're supposed to hate these people that have different views than us? Absolutely not. But there is place for values. And we need to have the right values. Now, let me be fair. I don't control how anybody in this church thinks. We don't do that for each other, do we? We make our own choices and decisions on how we think, whether it's politics, religion, what to get from the grocery store, or whatever. You make your own decisions. But I'm talking about we need some moral compass, and we need some grounding in the truth of the Word of God. Not to mistreat anybody, but to stick with what's right. And I am convinced that people that are into a lot of these things that don't match the Bible, they're not really as happy as they would have you think they are. You cannot be happy when you're living against the will of God. And even if it doesn't involve any of this immorality I'm talking about, that principle is true for all of us. If we're doing things, whatever they may be, that take us away from the will of God, our happiness level is not what it ought to be. Because the way to be happy is to be obedient to the Lord as best we can with his help, to be faithful Christians along the way. All right, so we see that, especially in verses 26 and verse 27, that is a big problem. Verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I think that wording is interesting because it's so easy to relate to. They did not retain God in their knowledge. For what reason? They didn't like doing that. Read it with me, please. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. In other words, they could have considered God in their lives in the right way, but they didn't want to. Have we all learned that people do what they want to do, whether it's right or wrong? And they didn't retain God in their knowledge because they didn't want to. Now, why do they not want to? Most likely we can conclude on the basis of the scripture because it didn't fit their lifestyle, because it didn't fit what they wanted to do. And because of that, it says God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's sort of like saying to a debased mind to do those things which are not convenient, not fitting, not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Now, there's a big list here. Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now that's a big long list, isn't it? That's a big long list right there. But I want to go through that list briefly here in this latter half of the message and share just some emphasis with you. People who reject God. You know, this message doesn't spend hours and hours and hours digging into all this information. But can we see, as Paul wrote to the saints in Rome, by the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, he was sharing with them information that they needed. And after he told them, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God for anybody that wants to be saved to receive God's gift of eternal life. He went into what they needed to hear about the bad way of living that some people had. And so I want you to notice with me, if you go to verses 29 through 31, I'll just touch briefly on some of these words. Unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. I will submit this for your thinking. Some of the things in this list are things that don't have anything to do with homosexuality. But that's part of what's in this chapter. People can be unrighteous all day long, can't they? So unrighteousness, though, is something that can come from people rejecting God in their lives. Then there's fornication, which basically is sexual immorality. And then you go from there, and by the way, my list is 1 through 23. You probably count something similar to 23 if you should go through and count them up. And the next one in the list is wickedness. These things are not contradictory. There are a lot of people that are unrighteous, even if they're not involved in fornication, but they are wicked. It's almost hard to believe how wicked some people are. Am I telling the truth on that? It's almost hard to believe how wicked some people are. But Satan is behind it all. He really is. Wickedness. And then there's covetousness. I think you could couple with that greed. Why are people covetous? Very likely because of greed. They want things that are not theirs. Then you have maliciousness. That's a form of the word malice. People just show their hatred. They show how mean they can be. We understand that. You don't even have to be taught. Little children know how to be mean, don't they? That's the way life goes. That's the way it goes. Maliciousness. And then what about envy? I don't want to make a joke of it, but Christians are just as capable of anybody else of being envious. Okay? There's envy. Then there's murder. Now that's an extreme one, but it can happen and happens every day when people travel the wrong road of life. Then there's debate. Now, debate can have the idea of strife or disputes. Some people are very likely certified experts in disputes. And what I mean by that is not in the court of law debating, but they can argue with you all day long. And they're always right. I don't have a list of names in mind, by the way. But people can be really good at disputing. You know what we could call it? Fussing and fighting. Or something real close to that. It's one thing to stand for the truth. It's another thing to always be arguing and fussing and complaining and griping. That's another thing. But debate, strife, disputes. Then there's the word deceit. That's a bad one. Then malignity. That has the idea like, you know, if you have a malignancy, it's, you think of cancer or something bad. And say, oh, that's a bad situation. Malignity is kin to evil-mindedness. And that's a problem as well. And then you go into whisperers. So somebody might say, well, what is a whisperer? Is that somebody that just fails to talk out real loud because that person doesn't want to, bother other people, so he's just going to whisper? Or could there be some other meaning? Well, can you tell the way I'm asking that there might be more? Okay, what I want to emphasize is this. The word whisperers can have these words that fit with it: gossipers, murmurers, or complainers, whisperers. And then you have backbiters or slanderers, slanderers. Then you have haters of God. Isn't that a strong set of words right there? Haters of God. Do you mean there are really people that hate God? Absolutely. It's not just our human opinion. That's what the Bible says. Haters of God. Then you have some that are despiteful or violent. You have some that are proud, and that's something that everybody, including every Christian, has to guard against, is human, sinful pride. And then you have boasters. That goes along with being proud and arrogant. You have inventors of evil things. Now, there's nothing new under the sun, Solomon said. But having said that, What does it mean, inventors of evil things? When you're going down the wrong road of life and you're rejecting God and you're an inventor of evil things, it's like you're just trying to come up with new ways to do what you want to do. Trying to come up with new ways to live that would fit your agenda. Inventors of evil things. Then you have disobedient to parents. We can understand that one. Without understanding. That's not having discernment in life. Then covenant breakers. Untrustworthy. Then without natural affection. Now, let me pause right there. Some of the information we've had in this chapter certainly fits in my understanding of the scripture. Like homosexuality. Some of these bad lifestyles fit with that category without natural affection. But having said that, as I understand it, it might not even pertain to that exclusively. It might also be that people just don't love the way God made us to love. And so you may have all of that in there. Without natural affection may be that you have men with men doing things they should not do, or women with women doing things they should not do, or you could have people not loving God and not loving other people. So something else you might keep in mind right there. And then also on the list you have implacable. Now, implacable, in my mind, through the years, meant like unchangeable. And I don't think that's wrong, but it also can pertain to unforgiving. In other words, somebody needs forgiveness and somebody over here, I'm not going to forgive you. You know what you did to me? Do you know the Bible says that Christians are supposed to forgive as Christ loved us, as He forgave us? That's part of it. As He forgave us, so we should forgive other people. And then the word unmerciful. Now, having gone through that list, in verse 32, when you think of the severe error that some have gotten into, and you talk about the judgment of God, you might like to think, well, if people are aware that God does not approve all this, then they would want to get on the right track, get on the right path of life. But this verse tells us, and I would submit to you, that the same mentality is still in the world today, that people know the judgment of God, and they can know that people that live the wrong way are worthy of death. But there are two things after that in this verse. They still go ahead and do what they want to do. But not only that, they also have pleasure in other people doing that. Did you see that in verse 32? You see, I'm not making that up. Not only do they do those things that they know are wrong, but they also take pleasure in other people doing it as well. All right. I know this message is not typical of a lot of messages, but they're all important if they're Bible-based, and that's the thing. So let me wrap it up a little bit for today. This scripture has what we might call some heavy information. But this message is not to discourage everybody. We can be encouraged if we remember that God is in control. He really is. So, just remember, God wants all people, so His desire, to realize their sinful condition and receive Jesus Christ into their lives as their Savior from sin. And the Bible, including the book of Romans, clearly emphasizes both sin and salvation. Reality agrees with the Scripture. Don't you think? Reality agrees with the Scripture. Sinful people live in a sinful world. The good news is that Jesus truly offers salvation to all who will receive Him. If you do not yet know Christ as your Savior, please put your faith in Him today. Now, if you are a Christian, you and I have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? We really do. And we need the balance in life that God wants us to have. We need to not condone the wrong, but at the same time, care about other people as God does. That's the key right there. That's the balance that we need. God wants all Christians to live for Him. We need to be faithful and obedient Christians. Can I say it one more time? That love other people and care about other people while not condoning wrong things. We need to be faithful and obedient Christians who support and practice the right things regardless of what society may say or do? Where do we stand today? Let's stand, please, and bow our heads for prayer.